Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Roughly 1,300 medical responders are mobilizing this morning, ready to treat an estimated 800 to 900 runners whose bodies may crack in the strain of running 26.2 miles. In public health circles, the marathon is known as one of the largest planned mass casualties in the country. Preparations have been underway for months. The goal is to be ready for the unexpected. WBUR's Martha Biebinger begins our story at the final meeting of the marathon's all-volunteer medical team.
All right, so I'm going to start at the back of the room. Communications, Steve and Paul, all set, no problems. We got enough shadows for everybody.
4 days to the starting gun in Hopkinton. Chris Troianos is getting a final status check from field team leaders in charge of medical records, equipment, ambulances, runner family relations, security.
Medical kits are all set, Brent, right, for the buses?
Yep.
Brian, finish line. Blair, communications from the state side, state police.
Everything is falling into place until Troianos, medical coordinator for the Boston Marathon, gets to the DMAT, or Disaster Medical Assistance Team's coordinator.
Slight curveball, we're not sure, but MA2, they're on alert now.
MA2, one of the state's disaster medical assistance teams, may be called to North Dakota at any moment to aid the latest flooding victims. Troianos is counting on them to be in Natick for one of three field clinics the DMAT teams run during the marathon.
So if that happens, I think that our best bet is to probably just go with two units in Wellesley and Newton and not do Natick. Just logistically, it's going to be very difficult to try to fill that. So that's kind of the game plan right now.
The game plan is layers of medical care. Red Cross volunteers are setting up 26 first aid tents, one each mile this morning. Police, fire, EMS, and public health officials in each of eight communities that host the marathon are also part of the medical team. Behind every team leader is a small army of volunteers.
We have about 250 hams that participate. When a real disaster strikes, we're the communications of last resort.
Steve Schwarm assigns ham radio operators to every medical operation on the course. They also walk the route between stations, looking for runners who need help. All ambulance dispatches are placed through ham radios.
The reason why we do this on the Boston Marathon is that cell phones stop working when the lead runner goes by. They stop working for about an hour, because everybody's trying to call somebody, and the cell phone system just can't handle the capacity.
I have 130 medical personnel who walk among the runners, triaging them as they come through the finish line.
Michelle Canavas runs what's called the sweeps unit. Her territory is the mile and a half after the finish line, which can include thousands of runners at any given moment. Her team watches for the obvious, a runner who collapses, who is vomiting, or who seems delirious. Discerning between expected post-marathon pain and something more serious can be tricky.
A lot of people who come and run 26.2 miles, they get to the other side and they want to keep moving. And sometimes it can be an interesting event as we talk with them and realize that they need help, but they're not ready to realize they need help yet.
You could die with a 106.2 if you're not treated well, and you could easily live, which I've had many people survive, for a 111 and 112 who were cooled rapidly.
Heat stroke specialist Doug Cassa is one of dozens of endurance exercise researchers who briefed medical volunteers for the marathon at various conferences over the past week. Cassa, who says cold water immersion is critical to saving a heat stroke victim, does not expect much call today for the large plastic bathtubs that will be on hand in the medical tents. Medical responders are also cautiously optimistic that hyponatremia, the condition that caused the last death in Boston in 2002, will not be a widespread threat. It occurs when runners drink too much water, which leads to swelling and can cause heart failure. McLean Hospital's chief of medicine, Arthur Siegel, says many slower marathoners, who are more likely to stop often at water stations, don't understand this threat.
The old message, drink, 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 is dangerous for the new marathoner, which is why Boston uniquely has these way stations.
Scales, where runners can check to make sure they didn't gain weight, a sign of hyponatremia, will be available in two massive white tents volunteers from Boston University began setting up late yesterday in Copley Square.
Everybody, we need, what do we got? About 4 feet in between each
finish line team member Brian Fitzgerald helps the students space more than 150 cots, dozens of tables and chairs, partitions, and hundreds of blankets to keep runners warm. Fitzgerald pictures the scene today.
It'll be like a MASH unit. You will come in here and people will be screaming and cramps, and there will be IVs hanging from the ceiling. It's multidisciplinary, and it's amazing to watch.
Fitzgerald says chill will be the main concern as runners face a cold 25 to 30 mile an hour headwind from Cleveland Circle into Boston. 10 hospitals along the route are also staffed up. Some have already activated their command centers and will use the marathon to test their disaster drill plans. At least 8 state agencies have been part of the planning in case something unexpected goes wrong during the race.
The marathon is a tremendous opportunity to test the plans that we would use in an unplanned casualty incident.
Mary Clark, the Director of Emergency Preparedness at the Department of Public Health, says Boston, because of the marathon, is in better shape than many cities to handle a public health disaster.
Because there are so many people there, there are 26,000 runners, there are 7,000 volunteers, there are probably 1 million spectators. You can't get that situation very often to be able to test what you would do in an event that you haven't planned.
The Boston Marathon will continue to be a rich testing ground for marathon medicine and mass casualty planning, particularly as baby boomers age. This year, for example, race officials have agreed to let a runner who has chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, and needs oxygen support enter the race. Right now, race officials must rely on runners to alert them to medical conditions that might affect treatment during their run. The number of Boston Marathon entrants age 40 to 59 more than doubled between 2004 and 2007. For WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger under the medical tent at the finish line for the Boston Marathon.